Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 526. This time with audio. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me. And man, I just come to you hat in hand after last week, after this disaster that I caused. But I mean, I guess statistically speaking, one out of 526 episodes of recording incorrectly ain't bad.
I was gonna say to happen once out of 10 years. I think we could probably say we're still batting 1,000 on that. Some statistician would say that probably you're at 9.999998.
Well, we still came through with an episode, so we did still keep the streak alive. But I did feel pretty much like an idiot. I mean, it did kind of throw off my schedule a little bit, and I just felt like an idiot because I was like, man, I thought we had some pretty solid, you know, jovial discussions. You know, I thought it was productive and that we touched on some points, and then to know that it's just one-sided audio the whole way. But this time, good. I double-checked everything, triple-checked everything. I don't have anything else going on to distract me. It's just, you know, life is normal, and we're good. So my humble apologies and thank you for scrambling to save the day last week.
No, it was not a big deal. We made it happen. That's just, you know, big GM stuff going on, you know, like things happen. But now you have your first event under the belt as the GM. Was life different on scene?
I tell you,
being a GM at that event?
I tell you what. I mean, yes and no. I mean, obviously, like, everybody's kind of coming up and congratulating you and talking you and all that and, you know, wanting to pick your brains on some stuff. And so from that perspective, a little bit. But other than that, no. Like, obviously, the CFFC team is awesome. Everybody busts their ass, and everybody breaks each other's balls too, so that doesn't stop ever. You know what I mean? It's nonstop. Yep. It's trash talking to each other. But I will say this.
And you were still on the scene shooting video as well.
That's right.
Man,
oh,
many,
yeah.
Skills.
Yeah, bro. I was shooting the weigh-ins that we use for the YouTube channel, that we use for the broadcast as well. So I was doing that. I was manning the stream for OnlyFans, at least for our weigh-ins. You know, we stream exclusively there to OnlyFans. So I was setting up the cameras.
Have you always done that, or is that new?
That's new. We just started doing that. So that was
okay. I was gonna say, I thought that was new.
Yeah, this was the first time we did that, and so set all those cameras up and set the mics up and was working on that. So I'm hands on, bro. That's me. I'm hands on.
That's GM shit right there.
But I'm telling you. So this is funny. Like, I always say that, like, after the fights are over, there's no way I'm going to sleep, right? Because you're so hyped up and excited, and you know, I mean, you're calling the fights, and it's adrenaline, and you're trying to keep it exciting, and you're excited, and you got the best seat in the house, and all that, and then you get back to the hotel, and you know, yeah, you're gonna have a frosty beverage or two, and recount what happened, and talk, but it takes a long time to kind of wind down, and typically I take the first flight out anyway because I'm trying to get back home as quickly as possible. So I always say, like, there's no way you could possibly sleep. I didn't sleep because I did have like a 4 a.m. shuttle to the airport. But when I got back to the hotel,
brutal.
Oh yeah. But when I got back to the hotel, I could have easily, like, it was just like this big, like different, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just because there had been so much on my mind and so many things different that I'm worrying about versus when I'm just commentating and I'm just, you know, watching tape and getting notes together. You know what I mean? It's not nearly the responsibility. So, I was definitely done. It was mentally draining, but bro, I loved it, man. I just I I love working with that team, and I love being on that side of it now too, man. So it was a good weekend. And I don't know, did you get a chance to watch the fights?
I did.
Nice.
Right? Yeah. No, I did. No, yeah, there were some good ones.
Some really good ones. So we had all finishes on the main card. So that's always fun. I mean, the entire show was under 2 hours on the main card for six fights, which is awesome. Always like to keep that pace high. And that was with, we did four winner interviews, six fights and four winner interviews in under 2 hours. So that was a good pace. Working with Dean Thomas is awesome. I mean, obviously love my guy CM Punk, and I'm hoping we're gonna get him back. We're kind of waiting to hear, you know, what his schedule looks like after WrestleMania, so we don't know yet. But I hope we get him back. But Dean Thomas is awesome, just because the knowledge is off the charts, obviously, and then he's still got that style, that funness to him as well, where it's not like all serious, you know, it's kind of laid back and having fun. So it was great working with him. But yeah, man, the main thing I was gonna touch on, the main event, man, Anthony Garcia got it done against Bailey Schoenfeld, and this dude just keeps winning, man.
He just walked him down. He just walked him down, man. That guy is scary, man.
Right?
He was on a mission, man. It was just we kind of figured it was either going to be something like that. Like, it was either going to be an actual, like, scrap where you're going to see, like, technique and, like, a fight, and both guys are going to sort of, like, gauge the feelings, you know, kind of work it out, see how they're doing. He was just like, I'm going to walk forward. I'm just going to swing. And when I make contact, you're going to go down.
That's it.
And Bailey, to his, you know, credit, you know, tried to get away from him. But, you know, at some point, that's what's always so great when you actually, you know, there's one thing when you're chasing a guy in the cage and you're trying to cut him off, and if you don't do it, you look like you just chased around. He cut him off effectively, got him up towards the cage, and then, you know, a couple of those shots had to just be like dynamite laid him, because as soon as they made contact, you can easily see how hurt he was, and then it was just done for, you know.
Well, it was impressive.
Talking, it was impressive.
So Anthony,
and he was great on the mic afterwards.
He's phenomenal on the mic, man. He's so great on the mic.
Yeah.
So the thing about him is he's still very raw. Like I said, he trains in a garage. He doesn't train with a team. I'd like to see him get with a big team. I just think that would be beneficial. I know he says that, you know, for him, this just works best. My little unit around me is what works best, and I get that. You know, your support team, but I just think you need some different training partners and some big bodies in there if you're going to be at the highest level at the UFC. So I'd like to see that happen. But to your point, and I was talking to Dean afterwards, man, he was like, man, he's like, I know that, you know, everybody talks about Anthony as kind of being this wild brawler or whatever. And he's like, and he is. Like, he's trying to, I mean, he definitely throws the right hand as hard as he can. He's like, but man, he really did impress me, to exactly your point, of the way he moves and of the way he cuts off and the way he sets things up. Like, yes, he's just throwing as hard as he can when he throws, but it's not just like head down, wing and punches. Yep. It's like, no, I'm walking you down. Yep. I'm cutting the cage off, and I'm setting up what I throw. And so, to your point, man, I mean, Dean Thomas had the same observation of like, yeah, this guy may be a little raw, a little wild, but there's definitely something there.
Yeah, you have to have great vision for the way he made it, you know, to kind of just put Bailey into the corner where he wanted him. You have to have good vision and just good understanding of how your opponent's moving. I mean, he didn't look like he was chasing him at all. He was focused. And then he went forward, and then he didn't waste a lot of shots, you know. I mean, the shots that hit obviously were very powerful, but, dude, I was really, really impressed. And, I mean, but there's a lot to say about, you know, when you get on the mic and you call your shots and you do other stuff. I thought even just the presence of mind of knowing that, like, you know, Muhammad Usman was in the crowd. He had a nice choice call out for him. Like, bro, the fact that it's one thing to say, like, oh, I'm ready for the big leagues, I'm ready to go to the UFC. The dude had a name in mind that he gave him, and a name that I was like, that's a good
call. I actually thought the same thing.
I was like, that makes sense.
Wait a minute.
I was like, it worked out perfectly that it happened to be, but, like, if you would have came in there and just said, like, oh, I'm ready for Ty Tuivasa, you know, I think that guy, blah, 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 like, settle down, son.
Right.
You'll get there.
Right.
You'll get there. Like, even Ty hasn't had the best of fights lately, but still, Ty is a super popular fighter. You can't just walk into the UFC and take on one of the most popular heavyweights. But you go in there and fight a guy that has a name tied to a name that is important to the UFC and maybe is not really, you know, not one of the guys that people are considering a contender, but he's a guy that be a, certainly at least a good test of somebody's strength, you know, and whether they fit in the UFC. And I was like, dude, hell of a call out, bro. I was like, killed it, man. Like, he performed well. He showed that he had definitely skill. He showed that he knew what he's doing. But I was even just as much impressed by how he was on the microphone afterward and having a solid call out to where I was just like, dude,
yeah.
I can't even think of a better name than that. I was like, you hit it. I was like, you killed it. So yeah, he got wins all around for me for the night, man. And yeah, I mean, he's got a very incredible style, exciting. He's vicious, he's dangerous, and he's got a mouth on him, man. Like, that's everything that the UFC loves.
100%.
I would be surprised if he's not within the UFC in the next year.
If he goes
again and has another. I mean, granted, I'm sure the CFFC would love to see him defend that belt.
Yeah, but
honestly, like, you know, they're just as proud if their champs go straight into the UFC. 100%.
That's 100% it, man. Like, of course, we'd love to have our champions defend, and it makes it easy because it's challenging, right, to develop somebody, and like you start getting somebody marketable. They're like, oh, I want to watch this guy. Oh, well, he's gone. You know what I mean? And you just repeat that process over and over and over, where you finally get people interested and they leave. But we don't care. Like, that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do, is help these guys get that platform to get to the next level. So I'd love to see him get there, man. It was a fun week in Tampa. We'll have some time to talk about it. But the next ones for CFFC will be Memorial Day weekend in Atlantic City. Back-to-back nights. Friday night will be Fury Professional Grappling. We got to announce a couple of the bouts already on broadcast there, but Pat Sabatini is going to be facing Joe Selecki for a title.
That's,
it'll be our first
fight.
One. Yep.
Or a good match.
Good match. Chris Weidman is going to be there, man. Chris Weidman and Pat Downey, that's a beautiful match as well, man. I love that one. And we actually just announced earlier today that Lucas Byrd, the national champ, it was teased on the broadcast as well, but I mean, NCAA Division I reigning national champion is going to step on the Fury Professional Grappling mats as well. So I love to see that, man. So a little bit of crossover from CFFC Match Day, where we get a national champ that then comes over and grapples for us. So really looking forward to that. And then the next night, CFFC 142, three different title fights that night. Three very, very interesting title fights, and guys that have an opportunity to go to the big show. Luke Fernandez against Christian Edwards, Blaine Richards against Eric Nolan in a rematch, and Anthony DeLime against Ryan Cafaro. So three title fights all at CFFC 142. And the entire card, we haven't fully announced it yet, but I'm looking at it. It is absolutely stacked from top to bottom. And so I'm actually really, really looking forward to Memorial Day weekend. So anybody that's out in that area, come on out there. Come on out there to the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
That's awesome. Now, do you think with the performance that Anthony just did in capturing that heavyweight belt, do you think it would be a slight to his performance by giving him a shot on the Contender Series, or do you think that is still a good thing for him, or would you rather just see him get a – just build onto a fight?
I think Contender Series is good, right? I mean, Bailey Schoenfelder came from the Contender Series. Obviously, it didn't go his way. Contender Series is tough. Yeah. I mean, there's no question. Like, you know, you're facing another killer. And I think the really thing that's kind of scary about it, and luckily we've seen it where they bring guys back, because I think that's the really scary thing, is that, like, you go there and you lose, and then you just feel like you're – you know,
that
miles away. Yeah, that was it. But we've seen him where, like, they bring guys back, or maybe somebody lost, and they end up getting a UFC contract anyway.
They still get a contract. Yeah, we've seen that. Guys and girls both get that opportunity where they've gotten that call. But I just wonder, I mean, it was a hell of a performance, and with that mouth, man, if anything, I guess if they did put him on the Contender Series, you know what you're going to be getting. It would be kind of funny to just see him hype it up.
Oh.
Because a lot of times when we see guys in the pre-fight stuff, we don't really know anything about them. You never really get a chance, and they never really talk shit in those little small packages. But it'd be kind of interesting to actually have a guy.
He would.
Where I feel he like would. He probably would say something in his little package, you know. And Dane and those guys, if that was the first time, like, they're legit seeing him, I guarantee they'd be like, well, "Who is this dude?" And then all he would have to do is go out there and do it. But with that performance, and with them needing big bodies at times, I could also see where maybe if there was a card somewhere in his region, maybe he get that call up, you know, if they need somebody to kind of step in there, you know, somebody that's big that you know is going to throw down. But maybe there's just some worry, because maybe with big heavyweights, they're usually always middle to later in the card.
Right.
So that might be a little risky for a matchmaker that's never actually seen somebody to take a risk on somebody, bring him into a fight without actually seeing them, and having them be in the middle of the card and then have them just come out and stink. I don't think he's capable. I don't think
it's
going to
be fun
one way or
the other.
That, you know?
Well, so two things on that, and then we'll move on, of course. But so number one, Anthony, when I interviewed him ahead of time, in his interview, he's like, there's only 30, like, he knew the number of heavyweights. He's like, there's only 30 heavyweights on the UFC roster right now. He's like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm better than most. So I thought that was funny.
And they're not all active.
And they're not all active.
They're not all active.
So he knew that. I thought I was like, but I can tell you, Anthony, he's like, I think that me going to the Contender Series would just be you getting me to fight for cheap. He was like, I don't think I need to be there, man. Like, I think I need to be straight in the UFC. I think I can skip that and let's go straight to it. And to your point, I did love the fact that he called out.
Do you think
out.
He would turn it down if they called him?
No, I don't think so.
You think he would try?
I don't think
I bet
so.
He would try at least, like, come on. Just get me on a card. You know what you're going to get. Come on. Get
100%.
Or maybe he can get him to agree to something different money-wise.
Yep.
Maybe he's like, I'll do this for you because I think whatever, but come on, guys. You know, you've seen me fight on UFC Fight Pass. Like, don't give me this 10 and 10.
He definitely tried to negotiate it. He definitely tried to negotiate it. I could see him, because like you said, he's so good on the mic. So I could see him being like, all right, listen here, McMaynard. Like, I appreciate your invitation, but you and me both know where I'm supposed to go. You know what I mean? Like, he could just, like, you know, I could make a bigger splash. I can sell more. I can't sell tickets at the Apex. I can't sell any tickets at the Apex. You know, it's just you guys. You're just wasting time. You're wasting your own time. You're wasting my money. Let's go to the UFC where I can bring the audience. I can make heavyweight great again, man. You know what I mean? That's what he's been saying. So, yeah, I could see him definitely trying to sell McMaynard on it and say, come on, man, just give me a shot.
The heavyweight division needs some shit talkers. I mean, like, we're getting a very – I mean, like, I have no – like, I love the new breed of heavyweights. They're leaner. They're meaner. They're more fit. But they're all very respectful.
Right.
They're all very – you know, you don't see anybody going out there and just, you know, wanting to sort of just own up and play the heel more, but do it well. You know, like, if you're going to go out there, everybody's just – like, the heavyweight division is very, very polite. They're very nice. They all get along with each other. There's no real blood. I feel like he could go in there and literally – fake some anger against anybody that's opposite of him.
Absolutely.
He's just a character. I mean, and I think that's definitely the heavyweight division could definitely use an injection of some beefs and some heat and some energy in that thing. I mean, and, you know, I think the division's great. I think it's, you know, it's definitely got some good names in it, but man, it's sort of bland in terms of if you had to put it up against the heavyweight shit talkers against any other division. The heavyweight division, it's got to be at the bottom. You know, like, they just don't – nobody talk shit. I guarantee the women's bantamweight and the women's, you know, strawweights talk more shit than the heavyweights do. You know, like, we need some heavyweights
right now
to make that shit exciting.
At the top of women's bantamweight, especially right now. We know they're – but look, I'm looking at the heavyweight roster right now, right? Like, okay, so we called out Muhammad Usman. Okay, that was a good one, especially because he's right there in the building. By the way, Muhammad Usman walked up to talk to Dean afterwards and just like, what did I do? Like, what was that about? But anyway.
Because he's a super nice guy, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, like, he's like, well, I just
to the point, like, the heavyweights are super nice people for the most part.
He's like, I just came to watch some fights. Yeah, what happened? But, dude, all right, so I'm looking at it right now. Like, all right, so Muhammad
He saw
Usman.
Him. He's like, I don't want to fight that dude. That's ultimately what he was saying. No, that's pretty funny. That's hilarious, though.
All right, so Muhammad Usman, dude, what about either one of the Taffa brothers? Come on, you tell me him against either one of the Taffa brothers
fun.
Would be a good fight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is probably too veteran for him, but him and Chris Barnett would be fun. You know what I mean? Like, that may
be
a little too experienced for him.
I love Barnett, though, man. I would like to see that kid in there more often.
I know. He's so fun.
That would be a fun one, though. That'd be a dangerous one.
So we'll see what happens. We will keep you apprised of if we start getting any calls to take him to the Contender Series or take him to the UFC. We'll find out what happens.
I hope so. That'd be awesome because I get to see him up close.
Yeah.
Get to hear him talk that shit, you know, and you never know. It'd be fun. That'd be fun. I love Contender Series nights.
Oh,
I
can't wait.
We're only being able to watch all the fights, man. I'm like, let's go.
We're only a couple months away. What, about 3.5 months away or so? We'll get that little 10-week run.
Let's go.
All right, so I want to get an update from you. One of the things we talked about last week that nobody got to hear the conversation of is obviously MMA Junkie redesign is in full effect. I've been through a couple of those. I know it's always some headaches and some hassles as you get everything switched over. So I'm sure you've been, you know, I talk about me working hard as a GM. I'm sure you guys have been working hard, like, finding all the bugs and transferring
still,
over.
Still constantly growing pains. Yeah. Still going through. We have a whole Slack channel that's just dedicated to, like, not that they're per se issues,
right,
but, you know, how things are different from one platform to the other and how we have to work with some of the platforms. You know, even something as simple as normally, like, on the old page, if you get to the bottom of the page, you could just load more.
Right.
And then when you get to the bottom of that page, load more. And then you get to that.
Infinite
so
scroll,
so
I believe they call
this
it.
This one
infinite
does not
scroll.
Do it. This one gets to a point where it does not infinitely scroll. So at some point, it, you know, so if you have something that's slipping on your page going to, you know, at some point they'll top out, you know, in a sense. So they're trying to figure out ways to change that. And they're trying to add some other things, like, we don't have event pages right now. We're working to get those back. So there's definitely some growing pains, you know, and just the way that things, you know, displaying themselves and, you know, where the old system, you can almost drag and drop things into featured spots, and it does not work the same in this particular method. You have to boost, if you will, certain things to push them into key areas. So there's learning curve, and then there's also just new functionality that sort of addressing things that makes it weird. Where so we're dealing with things where at times you might see duplicates in a timeline or in a featured area because one happens to be the story with a thumb and then the other is the video. If they have similar thumbs,
right,
because we're using the one the other, it looks like duplicate, but it's not actually duplicate. One's the story and one's the art and one's the video, but when they're getting displayed into similar areas, it kind of causes confusion. So just little things like that that we're, you know, running into, but they're getting the hang of it. And thank goodness for me, I have it easy. I just have to deal with the video side. So those guys dealing with the actual page format, the editors and the people that are populating that front page are having a much harder time and a much bigger learning curve than what I have to deal with. So, you know, I'm sure there's many other processes, you know, some of the other problems that that they're running into that I don't see. But I do know that we have a running thread of ongoing things that us getting used to and then things that we're trying to change. And some things we're trying to get them to change to give the functionality of the old site. You know, you never want to switch to something new and feel like you step backwards,
right?
You know, and in some aspects, it feels like we did. You know, while we are all part of the team, you know, and we're now on the same platform, there are definitely pros and cons, and that's just one of the weird little things. But it's getting better. I think it's getting better for the team. They're constantly on it.
One of the things we talked about last week is one. I went through, and again, not that I have a dog in the race anymore. You know, what I'm saying I'm not in this thing anymore. But I know that when I was with them in Mejunkie, we went through several redesigns over the years, and immediately everybody just goes, this sucks. I hate it. You know what I mean? Just because it's different. And I'm talking about like readers and that sort of thing. Cause they see something different. And it's like, oh, hate this. Absolutely hate this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just because it's different and you're used to something, right? You're used to something being a certain way and it looks different. But I guess my message then that I didn't get the release, and I'll say to everybody now, and it sounds like you believe they're making progress. It's just hang tight. You know what I mean? Yes, there's definitely going to be some growing pains, some little hurdles here and there, but it sounds like you guys all are making progress and just, hey, everybody hang tight. We're doing the best we can, and don't think that what you see is the finished product and we're just done and that's that. Like, we're still working to make it, you know, a little bit better and better and better.
Yeah, 100%. And that's even I guess, even more so for our international viewers, because I was talking to Kamikaze, and he was even showing me how some of the page layouts, some of the video pages, and don't display the over in Europe.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
So if he VPNs into, say, like the States, it shows differently than if he just stayed natively to his Wi-Fi over in Europe.
Wow.
Due to the different, you know, laws and the things.
I forgot about that. They had like different privacy laws and stuff like that that made things.
So the way things get served and different reroutes and redirects all deal differently. So if you're VPN in the States, a seamless redirect will happen. If, say, you click the videos, and it'll take you to MMAJunkieUSAToday.com/videos because there's a redirect that happens that you don't really see. But if you're not VPN'd, that handoff doesn't happen. Then you're stuck into a page that doesn't actually exist. So you get a 404 error, a page does not exist. And it's like, well, I clicked on the same thing. But it's just weird little shit
that
happens.
That's interesting.
So
that's maybe
things you wouldn't even think about that just, you know, that are just out of our hands, you know. But we have to sort of make the developers and page people aware that, okay, when people are overseas, you know. And it's one thing if your viewership is only in the States, it might never ever pop up. But, you know, somebody like us that has a lot of viewers over in the UK, the UK is probably our second biggest market.
Yeah.
And then to find out that the viewing experience is not the same, and then that some of them are having to use VPNs for Pete's sakes to access the proper site, that's not a good thing. So I know they're trying to address some stuff, but, you know, even when you were around, there was stuff going on, videos rolling and things that weren't working out for Europe, and we're sitting here screaming at the top of our lungs, like, guys, fix this. And then they would come back, well, you know, it's not a general, you know, priority for the overall organization because, you know, most of our viewership isn't. And it's like, Well, ours is, yeah. You know, so like, can you prioritize it for our sake,
it
please?
It was a special, you know, challenge, yeah, because, you know, the developers don't know. I mean, obviously, it's USA Today, and it's a whole bunch of, yeah, you know, news outlets that are covering, like, a state or a city or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you don't expect anybody from overseas to be checking in on what's going on in Des Moines, Iowa today, you know what I mean? But, like, yeah, our audience...
They will be next week.
Yeah, good point. But, yeah, you're absolutely right about that. There's so much of international audience. But I guess that is a good tip. If for whatever reason you are an international reader and you're having issues with MMA Junkie and you do have access to a VPN, maybe just give it a go and you can
give it a go and see if it looks differently, and if it does act differently, then it's something with the cookies and the way things, whatever. But I wonder if that does the same if you try to go and, like, you know, like, I didn't try to ask Abby to see if you do it. If you know, like some browsers have the incognito mode where it tries to change with the cookies, maybe that displays differently. If you go to our site in that mode, I don't know if that does anything different.
Sneaky.
It might not.
Look at you. Sneaky. Incognito.
But I'm sure it's still something else at a different level that blocks it or whatever. But it's just crazy that, you know, I mean, I understand, you know, you want the privacy rights or whatever, but it's like, if it's making your viewing... It's just a web browser, bro. Like, calm down. Like, let the page display. Like, do you really need your government getting involved to make sure that you're getting served, whatever, blah, 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 blah.
It's so funny because, like, I know some people, like, online privacy just means the world to them, and I'm just like, bro, like, what do I got? You know what I mean? What do I care? Like, no, you can't let them see this. I'm like, what? I don't give a damn. So, yeah. Anyway, all right, let's talk about you.
What's redheads. They know I love redheads.
Well, hold on.
Redheads and ramen.
There are certain parts of your search history that should stay hidden, okay? I'm just saying, for the most part. Just maybe there's certain places.
I mean, just saying, if they did a deep dive, that's the biggest point that'll come out. Like, this guy certainly is infatuated with redheads. And second to redheads is ramen. No, it's probably flipped. I think it's ramen and then redheads. Like, sir, you don't need, like, I will just tell you openly, you don't need to look at my data. I'll just tell you. But that's all you're going to find if you did.
Oh, man. All right, listen. As you said, the MMA world will be taking a look at Des Moines, Iowa next week. But right now, it's Kansas City. Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, everybody
by the way
down there getting that barbecue in. Everybody, I was like, go get some barbecue. And they're like, already ahead of you. I bet.
Got to get that solid Kansas City barbecue. Obviously, well known for that. A great main event. I really, really like this main event. So, Ian Machado, Gary versus Carlos Prochus. I did get to watch all of the media day since I'm not preparing for an event this week. I actually had some more spare time. So, I got a chance to watch all the media day. And not a lot of media there, I should say. Obviously, I don't think you guys aren't there. Fighting's there, not there, right? It was like...
No, and I know Oscar's flying in today, so he'll be there for the weigh-ins and post-fight night or whatever. But, yeah, as for, like, media, yeah, I think it was just purely just local.
It sounded
local
like
media.
There was just one dude, and so I just want to give a little quick I don't know who that guy was. I apologize, but shout-out because he was basically running a solo mission the whole day, and he did the best he could.
Not a fun position.
No, it's not, especially if it sounded like he was knowledgeable enough. I mean, it didn't sound like he was new to the game. But it was funny because Anthony Smith, we'll talk about him in a minute, he basically just sat down and was like, it's my retirement fight. Nobody gives a fuck. Like, that's awesome. And he's like,
I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. And then he was like, I'm just kidding. So, anyway, not a lot of media there, but shout out to everybody that did. But I really, really like this main event, man. Ian Gary versus Carlos Prochus. Stylistically, it's intriguing. You know, obviously, I think Carlos Prochus is kind of the more popular fighter, if you will. Although I do feel like people are coming around on Ian Machado Gary a little bit, right? I feel like they're coming around on him a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think in terms of, like, people that are really buying into the fighting nerd things, I think for sure people are really riding that hype right now. But I think if you had to rate who has more name value, Ian Machado Gary by far has the name value. But as for, like, somebody who people are rooting for, yeah, I could see where everybody's, you know, riding the coattails of Prochus, because I think that fighting nerd hype is real. And
big
I think
time.
A lot of people are just sort of like, You know, part of what Ian Gary's, you know, what's been awesome watching is that dude gets a lot of hate.
Yes.
He's got a lot of hate. He's got, like, a beautiful wife and family, and people want to shit on him about that.
Yep.
He's boisterous. You know, he comes out there, he's brash. People want to shit on him about that. But the dude goes out there and he does what he says he's going to do and he puts it on. So people generally just either – they either tend to love him or they want to hate him and they want to just see the kid lose. But Prochus, one, most people can't understand him. So they just see his fight performance. They see his smile. They see the energy. They hear the translation, you know, and it, all the right words are coming out. And so he's put on a perfect face. And then with that team, that – I mean, find me a person – that does not like the fighting nerd hype right now.
Can't.
Tell me one person that's like, I'm just over that team. They're performing so well, I just hate those guys.
You can't.
You know,
everybody
bro,
loves
them. They're killing it.
Everybody
they're
loves
killing
them.
The glasses thing, like just everything. They go out there, they throw out the glasses, they get Joe Rogan to put them on every time. It's so funny. The last time Joe's like, he's like, I'm getting too many of these things. I'm interviewing you guys nonstop. He's like, I got a collection of these things, you know. Joe Rogan would not put it on if he didn't respect and didn't think that the team was whatever. Buffer apparently was too big. He wouldn't take the glasses. Shame on you, Buff. I saw that when you didn't do that.
Did they try to give him one and he rebuffed them?
And he was like, no. He tried to give a fucking Buff answer. I was just like, bro, take the glasses, Buff.
I didn't see that.
It was like right when before the last I don't know if it was before the when they were getting ready to do the announcement. I forget which fighter it was.
For the introduction. Okay, but hold on. All right, hold on. But you
know,
no,
at the end it was before the winning. Before they called the winner.
Oh, okay.
He wanted Buff to wear the glasses when he was calling the winner's name, and Buff wouldn't take them.
That's interesting. Because I was gonna say if it was during the introductions, I could totally defend him because he'd be like, hey, I don't want to disrespect your opponent, right? Like, I'm trying to give respect to both, you know what I mean? So I can't wear your thing while I'm introducing your opponent as well. So if it was beforehand, I can understand that. But afterwards, throw the glasses on, Buff.
Just have a little fun, bro. Buff, come on. Like, you got to realize that. I mean, I get what, you know, I can see where Buff's like, no, you know, I'm trying to keep it professional, criminal, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, bro, like, they're having their moment. They just want to have you join in the fun. Like, what's it going to kill you to just wear the glasses once or whatever?
All right. Well, everybody,
like, if Rogan can get it, Rogan's getting ready to fucking interview the dude on TV. And if he could put the fucking glasses on, like, you could wear the glasses when you announce the dude as a winner or whatever. But still, regardless, everybody's loving on the team, you know, like they're bringing such incredible fun energy. And the team's just winning, man. Everybody loves winners, man. That team is crushing it right now. So I think a lot of people are riding that hype of him as well, because I think it's another opportunity for the people, for whatever reason. You know, I did pick Prochus, but I have I have no ill will towards Gary at all. I'm just riding the fucking fighting nerds hype train until they start showing me that they're losing, that they're overhyped, which, you know, they're not overhyped. They're all killing it right now for the most part. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, even though I said after the last time when I didn't pick Gary and he put on a good performance and I was just like, okay. I was like, you know, I won't, like, and not that I ever talk shit about Gary, but I was like, I'm just not sure if I want to pick him. I'm just not sure. He's proven that he is everything that he says he is.
Right.
But you're going up against a guy right now that I would pick almost against anybody. And that's where it is. He's going against the guy that right now I just can't pick against Prochus.
Yep.
You know, like, I don't know who, you know, unless it's like the title fight or something like that. So this would be interesting. I mean, like, I just think Prochus has the power to walk him down. If Gary wants to stand in the middle and just make it a slugfest, I think that's the wrong choice. But I think if he does what I know he's capable of doing and moving around and make Prochus chase him and then sort of, you know, just start, you know, getting those strikes in there and just adding up that value, that by the end of the round, he's ahead of the round without you even knowing it. He's just starting to bank all these shots. And if Prochus is constantly chasing after him for that big shot, Gary's just going to peck away at it. And then he's going to get the decision win at the very end. But I think Prochus, man, just that power, man, he's so electric that if Gary doesn't stay in his head and doesn't stick with his game plan, I think he'll lose. So I'm just riding the Prochus train right now, and it has nothing to do really with Gary. It's an opponent against a guy that right now I don't want to pick, that I'm not confident picking against him, because he's shown me everything that it would be silly to pick against him.
No, I get it, man. That's why I'm so intrigued by this, because I do like Gary in this, but I do think he's going to grapple a little bit. Like, I think, like you said, you're 100% right. If he just wants to trade in the pocket, that is a recipe for disaster. But obviously, that's not normally what he likes to do, right? He likes to move and be tactical and jab and
long. He's smarter than that.
Much smarter than that. And I think he's going to grapple as well. I think that would definitely, you know, suit him as well. So because of that, I see him winning this fight. But again, I said I'm intrigued by it. I'm most intrigued by fights that I do believe have a real chance of going either way, right? Not that could. I mean, any fight can.
I think the odds are pretty solid on it, too. Like, it's not a big favor in Gary, but I think that is the smart play. I can see where definitely that's where the bettors are going to be putting on him. But when I looked at the last odds, I'm looking really quickly.
Gary's just a small favorite, a slight
just
favorite.
Just a small favorite. Yep.
Small favorite.
I think he's like -130. Proches is coming back at +110. You're darn near almost at a pick 'em, you know, between the two. You know, it's pretty darn close.
Very close. So, and if you get that plus money, but I think with our friends over at CloudBet, I'll probably throw in a little something on Ian Machado Gary. But I like this fight a lot, man. I really do.
Yeah.
Co-main event, Anthony Smith versus Zhang Miyang. First of all, let me just say Anthony Smith was great. Well, yeah, I'll get there. Anthony Smith was great. His pre-fight media day was great. As I said, he's
always good.
He's really, really good.
Even when he's busting your chops for picking against him,
yep.
He does it with a smile. I mean, like, he's – I mean, that goes to show. I mean, like, that's why he's perfectly fit to, you know, keep doing stuff at the, you know, the analyst desk and all that other stuff. He's just great when he gets on there, you know, and he'll go in there and he understands the game so well, and he always understands his position well. So he's never one to sugarcoat it. He's always been honest and open. When he hasn't been fighting well, he says it, you know, and when people have not given him the credit when he's busting his ass, he'll say that too and call you out on it, you know. He's a perfect example of, you know, being able to deal, like, on media days. He's just great because you know you're always going to get something that is worthwhile. He knows how to play the game. Even if it's like a piss poor question, he'll give you the best damn answer to a piss poor question just because he understands that, you know, that an answer, a good solid answer is needed, you know. Like, he's that good of a spokesman up there on the mic. So
he really is. And I thought, you know, I've told the story before, but I'll say it again. I've been a big fan of Anthony Smith for a long time. I met him 15 years ago in 2010. I met him in a hotel bar, an airport bar, I should say, you know, on a layover. And he came up and he's like, hey, you know, John Morgan, my name's Anthony Smith. I just want to introduce myself to you. You know, like, you're going to be covering me in the UFC. And, you know, he's the big dude. We still well-spoken back then. And I was just like, all right, man, I got to look this dude up, man. I remembered his name, Anthony Smith. That's not hard to remember. I'll check him out. And as soon as he walked away, I pulled up his record on the Fight Finder, and he was 4-6 at the time and on a 4-fight losing streak. And he's like, but you're going to see me in the UFC, and damn it if he didn't make it there, and damn it if he didn't fight for a title and everything that he's built. And he's such a good dude. So I loved it. And you know, I thought he gave a great answer. You know, somebody asked him about, you know, how he wants to be remembered, and he was saying, look, I just want to be remembered for my effort. You know what I mean? That I wasn't the best athlete. I wasn't the most natural, God-gifted guy, but I just worked my ass off, and look where it got me. And I respect that. B, I relate to it. And C, it's something I'm trying to, like, teach my son as well. You know what I mean? It's like, dude, you don't have to be the best at anything, but if you just work your ass off, you will outperform a lot of people. Like, you know, if you just don't let anybody outwork you. And so Anthony Smith worked his ass off, and he's built something great for himself. He gave a shout-out to Heidi Dean. You know, anytime you get a little Heidi Dean shout-out in there, that's always a good thing. And it was funny. He said something, too. I feel like sometimes – it relates to MMA media as well, but he talked about when he's done, like, sitting on the porch at a farm where he grew up and just having a beer with his uncle and remembering why he got into this. You know what I mean? And, like, I think a lot of people, like, I sense it so much with the media right now, that there's just, like, burnout and people that are, like, frustrated, and it feels like there's all this negative energy. But, like, everybody that got into it started out as a fan. You know what I mean? Every single person that got into it started out as a fan, and I wish sometimes that everybody would take a step back, remember why you got into it. And I think it's hard, right?
Yeah.
When you start thinking about something you love as a job, and you only start thinking about the money part of it and the bills and the whatever, like, it's really easy to get caught up in, like, frustrations and whatever. But if you remember, like, hey, I started doing this because I love it. And fighters, I mean, every one of them, like, dude, you know, when you start out fighting, especially like when Anthony was getting started, bro, you weren't making no money. You know what I mean? You might be paying to fight, or you're fighting for free. You hear tons of stories about guys that just fought for a bar tab, basically, right? You know what I mean? It's like, hey, you come and fight, and whatever you drink is free. You know what I mean? So just kind of remember why you got into it. So it was phenomenal. Final pre-fight media day from Anthony Smith. But holy shit, did they have to match him up with this dude in his retirement fight? Like, I know that's the way the game works, but like, this dude is good, man. Like, this dude looks like he's going to be a real force in the division. And I get it. That's how you do it, right? Like, you got to give the rub, I guess, so to speak, right? In the professional wrestling parlance, like, you know, you got to lose the title to somebody before you walk away or whatever. You know, the young eat the old or whatever. I mean, say all the cliches you want. But it really does feel like that was this type of matchmaking where you're just like, bro, this is a tough fight, man.
Yeah, it's like the second biggest odds out of the fight. I think the only bigger one is Damon Blackshear is a minus 500. Looking right now, and Zhang is minus 455 to the comeback. Anthony Smith plus 350.
Oh.
Damon Blackshear is minus 500. And Haley Alatang is plus 380. That's the only bigger underdog that's on the card.
Gosh.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this dude, man, he is a big, big man. But you never know, man. Like, Anthony, you know, I think that last fight, everybody was kind of just left. I know it for me particularly. I know that was he was going through a lot of stuff that we found out afterwards.
Yeah.
But, you know, going into it, we had no idea what was going on. And we were just like, what's going on with the performance? It was so not Anthony that we were just like, man, he's not there. Like, he's done. Like, just stop right now. Like, why fight again, you know? So I can see where this one, without that stuff going on, knowing it's going to be his last chance, he's literally going to give us what I think we've always expected from him, and that's 110%, you know? I mean, and if he gets a hold of this cat, man, like, Anthony's grappling is just fantastic, man. His ground game is incredible. It takes something to get you to the ground. It starts standing,
yep.
And you got to get through this hands, man, and be interesting to see. But, yeah, I mean, anytime going up against a big, younger dude, man, it's tough. You know, you almost want a retirement fight to be an easy out for somebody, and this is not an easy out, you know. But knowing Anthony and his big lion heart that he has, don't be surprised if he doesn't shock the world, you know, for his walk-off. But, you know, it's just, you know, we could all hope that, and we want that, and we wish that for him. Everybody wants to see everybody go out on a big note. But, man, it's tough. That last fight left a lasting image that's hard to kind of shake, just of a guy that just didn't have anything left in there, you know, and it just didn't have the drive. And, you know, I know he had definitely some circumstances over his head.
Oh, brutal.
Have those really changed? You know, I mean, some time has passed, but, you know, if anything, you could say that, you know, now that you know that the fight's done, this is just another more emotional fight, you know, that's still just following on the coattails of the last emotional fight, you know. So, I definitely would say that you're not going to see somebody that's going to go out there to try, you know, that's going out there just willing to lose. I think we're going to see, you know, everything that we can from him. It's just a tough ask, man. This is a tough one. I think the odds makers picked it. I don't know if I would have made it this big of a difference. You know, I think they're certainly leaning in this thing, but I think it's the right call, you know. But every time I say that before, Anthony pulls one out, you know. He didn't last time, because I think I leaned his way last time, and I was like, well.
Like,
but
where was Eric Anders at this weekend? Like, I'm looking at Eric Anders, right? And I know he's made, and I know Eric's a middleweight, but he is still technically on the light heavyweight in the rankings. He's listed as a light heavyweight. He fought 195 last time. At least he's 38 years old, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, give somebody, like. But anyway, all right, so you touch on the whole Lionheart thing. I agree. Don't count Anthony Smith out. You never know. If there's one thing that you can say about Jamie Young, he has not – this, and it's a weird stat, but every fight he's won in the first round. Now, what does that mean?
Yep.
It means he's just running through cats. But he hasn't won outside of the first round.
Yeah.
He's only lost
well,
a couple.
Granted, it's only a three-round. Only three-round. you think a guy like his size and at this level can make it three, but that being said –
That being said,
if you haven't went to those waters, you know.
So.
And Anthony's the kind of guy that we know. I mean, especially if you start tiring out and he takes you into the second and third round, and say if it's grappling heavy and you've never been to those rounds, granted, we know that they're training.
Right.
You know, most people are like, oh, he's never made it to three rounds. Like, bro, I'm sure he in his practices, they go much more than one round. You know, like, I think he's got some. But you never know. And so you have that, you know, a guy like Anthony Smith, you know, put you in grappling moves for three solid rounds, you know, then you may be going to tire out, and then we'll see what happens. But, yeah, You never know.
It's going to be a tense opening 5 minutes, I can tell you that. But I'm not counting them out.
Yeah.
That's not
going to be a fun one to watch. Regardless, knowing that somebody's retiring, I guarantee everybody like myself is just going to be like, please just get out the best possible.
Yes.
Get a win. Yes, that would be great. But also, too, I don't want to see you get hurt. I'll be stressing watching that fight, to be honest. And I hate when I stress watching the fights because it's not like there's money on the line or anything. You're just like, please let this go well. Like, nobody get injured. Nobody get hurt. Be happy at the end that you get to show what you wanted to show and be happy that that was your final one. If you're saying this is going to be it, don't have lasting, you know, thoughts of, did I leave it all out? Like, leave it all out there. But also, you know, if you're getting busted up, you know, just call it a day. Don't make us die watching you take more damage.
Because
it kills us. It hurts. It hurts to watch it. Especially something that you respect, that, you know, when they're getting beat down, you're just like, oh, I can't watch this.
But of course,
we're going to watch it. You know?
By the way, okay, a couple things. Number one, there is a bigger favorite on the card, actually, believe it or not. Jacqueline Emerim is a minus 800 against Pollyanna Viana at plus 550.
Yeah. But it's the way, I'm sorry, bet fight odds.
I know they switched. Bet fight odds, they have it separated. I saw exactly what happened.
Why do you do that?
It's so annoying. They need somebody monitoring
that.
So
there is another one that is bigger. Yeah, that is
a big one. Of course, Pollyanna Viana, an underdog on the cards, but a favorite in all of our hearts. There's no question about it. So.
Oh, yes.
I had a feeling you'd like that one. All right, listen. Yeah. Overall, yeah. It's a really
big
good
fan.
Fight card.
Big fan. Some would say I'm her only fan. I'm just
kidding. See what you did there.
I would not be her only fan. I'm sure many of only fans.
I'm sure there's many signed up. Giga Chikadze, David. I mean, honestly, this fight card is good from start to finish. I mean, there's no way you can complain about this fight card. It's a busy weekend for what they call it, the TKO Takeover, whatever. Like, I think there's WWE is there, and like the bull riding is there as well. They got the whole thing going on in Kansas City.
Would you think people would shit on this card if it was in the Apex, just because it was in the Apex? If you're just looking at the matchups, because when I looked at this card, I was like, that easily could have been a card that could have been at the Apex.
Honestly,
people would have literally would shit on this card.
And I think it's a great card. I think it's a lot of fun.
Good card.
I think it's a really good card.
But it's definitely. I mean, are you telling me like this isn't some of the Apex level shows? I mean, like, to me, when I looked at this card, I was like, easily could have been an Apex card.
Yep, 100%.
Easily, and people still would have shit on it.
Yep.
When I looked at it, I was like, dude, that's an Apex card.
Yep.
And it could have been an Apex card. And if they weren't making this point to go on the road, it would be at the Apex.
Yes, it would.
But they want, you know, they're trying to get more out. But it just drives me crazy. That's just people, again, were shitting on the Apex just because it was the Apex. But this is literally the same sort of card that, you know,
I agree.
We would get typically
on
an
Apex
card.
I think it's going to be a fun one, though. Michelle Pajeda, I was talking about
it. It's a good night.
So check this out. this was pretty funny. So I was watching back all the media day, right? But I didn't watch it in order. I watched it via the email. I don't know if anybody streamed it, to be honest with you, so I wouldn't even know where to watch it. I did look at Junkie's YouTube, and I looked at Fighting's YouTube, and I don't think either were there. So I don't know if anybody did stream the whole thing. But anyway, I got the email that they send out for all the all the media lists, basically, that the UFC sends out. So instead of going in order, which normally the way the media days go, I'm sure people have noticed it, it's – all the blue corner and then all the red corner. So, you know, it's everything split up. But since I wasn't having to go in order, I was like, you know what? I'll watch the main event, both sides. Then I'll watch the co-main event, both sides. Then I'll watch. So that's the way I did it. I did it fight by fight, right? So I go down, and apparently Nicholas Dalby went and spoke to the media first, but I started with Randy Brown just because it was Randy Brown versus Nicholas Dalby. So I started with Randy Brown. And I was listening to it, and the reporter, the one guy, again, kudos to the one guy that was running shop the whole day. He goes, hey, Randy. He was like, you know, Nicholas was here earlier, and he said you're kind of like the John Jones of the welterweight division. And I was like, damn. I was like, Nicholas Dalby said that? I was like, that's cool as hell. And he's like, and the reporter kept going. He's like, because you have a long frame and you poke people in the eyes. I was like, I cried. I don't know why that got me so much. I was like, damn, Dalby said he's like John Jones at welterweight?
Yeah.
That's dope. And he's like, because
that's giving him a hell of a compliment.
Yeah. He's like, because you poke people in the eyes. It just cracked me up, man. And Brown was like, to Randy's credit, he's like, yeah, I saw him say that on – he's like – he actually got a little annoyed. He's like, I saw him saying that on Instagram. He is like, it goes to show you what a lack of intelligence he has. Like, if he thinks at this level, I'm trying to cheat. I'm trying to do something on purpose. He fired back at him, and he was like nothing he even says makes sense. He's like, he's an LGBT activist, a Black Lives Matter activist, but he's also a Viking. Like, how can you be both? Like, and I was like, okay, that's kind of a stretch of a diss there. But I see where you're going with that. But Randy got a little bit annoyed by it. So there's a little bit of flavor in this one. So, you know, obviously two guys that have been around for a long time. We know them very well. And then I did go back and watch Dalby's thing. I think the guy was like, so how do you train for that? He's like, oh, I should have put like safety goggles on while I was training or whatever. And I don't know. Anyway, so there's a little bit, maybe a fight there that has a little bit of flavor that you might not have been aware of if you didn't get a chance to watch the media day. I wanted to be able to share that with you. And I don't know why that made me giggle so much. I was like, damn, that's a hell of a compliment. Funny. And he's like, oh, no, he's just talking shit. So that was good. Ikram Alaskarov versus Andre Muniz. Alaskarov is a huge favorite there as well. And I get it. Andre Muniz is tough, man. I feel like he was that guy. Like, everybody was hype on Muniz, and he's just kind of fallen off a little bit. And obviously, you know, there's high hopes for Alaskarov, so he's a big favorite as well. Matt Schnell is back against Jimmy Flick. You can't get Matt Schnell out of there, man. He walks away, but he's coming back. So I'm happy to see him back because I like Matt Schnell a lot. I did see the name game fight of the night. It's Elder versus Young, the old man and the young guy, Evan Elder versus Gage Young. Chris Gutierrez is always fun against John Castaneda, who's always fun. So that's going to be a great fight. You mentioned Damon Blackshear being the big favorite. Obviously, CFFC champ there. Malcolm Wellmaker, Cameron Simon should be fun. We mentioned Amarin Viana, another CFFC vet and tough enough vet. I called several of his fights as an amateur pro. Timmy Kwamba is back against Roberto Romero, and it starts out with Chelsea Chandler versus Jocelyn Edwards. So, to your point, you're right. There's not a single name on this card that it would shock me to see at an Apex fight. So there is absolutely no reason to be picking it apart or saying that, you know, it's something. But I feel like the matchmaking, I just feel like this card is going to be, and I'm going to knock on wood right now that I'm not spoiling it, but I just look at these matchups, and I feel like it's going to be a ton of bangers on Saturday. So I'm hoping.
Yeah. Yep. Should be good. Well, that being said, I went ahead and looked ahead at the next UFC card, and this one is better than the next Apex card, even though the next Apex card is pretty good, because when you look at it, that's the Des Moines card. I was going to say the Des Moines card is pretty solid too.
Des Moines card looks good.
Well, we'll talk about it because I was like, man, they got RDR and Bo Nickel and Corey Sandhagen, and I was like,
I love
see?
That.
Look at the Apex. I was like, oh wait, no, that's Des Moines. So we'll talk about that next week. But yeah, no, I mean this is a good card. I mean, like, but yeah, it's funny, you know, like Apex gets a lot of hate, but you know, whatever. But it's funny. I'm glad that they're on the road, but you know, here they are. They're on the road. Where you at, media? You wanted them on the road. Where you at?
That is.
You wanted them on the road, there, and you're not there. Like, what's going on?
I'm
you just want to gripe regardless. So whatever.
That's tough, man. The media not being there, I really do wonder. I mean, I just wonder if they end up doing away with media days at some point. Like I said,
Well, then the UFC, they have to step up and give these guys opportunity to, like, promote the show. I mean, that's the whole reason. Yeah. They used to do stuff back in the day. They would do media rounds, and they would go to radio places, and they would do all the things. And they figured out, well, hey, can we do something here where we can, generate these views without having to take all these fighters and take them on the road to different stations. And even that gets tedious, you know, when, because especially when they were on the road a lot, they'd have to try to find a radio station that's open, then try to book them and try to get in advance, and then trying to do it all fight week with fighters that are trying to lose weight. It was great that when they were able to do it, but it was a tough ordeal. I mean, it was a tough ask. And then you try to spread that across a whole main card. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. So, when they were like, well, hey, let's just do these media days. Let's put them, everybody there together. You know, they'd seen these things work for like the NFL and all these other people when they do these opportunities. If we present the athletes, media will show up. And for the most part, they do, you know. But, you know, when they're in Vegas, we show up because that's what Vegas media will do since they're here. But then people bitch that, oh, well, they're not on the road. And so when they go on the road and then the media still doesn't go. And it's just like, why, you know, what's the, you know, if you want to save money, I'm like, granted, I'm sure the fans in those areas love it. But as a business, I can see where the media is like, they're like, you know, it's tough, you know. So I don't know if it would ever go away, because I think then they're like, well, do we give it any shot to like even promote these people? Will people even hear? Because then at that point, you know, I can see where fighters are like, you didn't do a good job promoting me, because they only really promote the main dudes, the people on the poster. You'll see a couple ads. Maybe they'll make the promo. Outside of that, there is no promotion for anybody on the main card, or you know, definitely not the prelims. And then at least on media days, sometimes you'll see a feature prelim or maybe a local fighter from that area. That's the only promotion you're going to get from them, especially when they do it every week. They're constantly already working towards the next week. And once you get in that week, they're working for the next week. Yep. They can't, you know, make sure that they dot all the T's and I's and like, oh, did we get everybody a chance? And at least now they can say, well, we gave them a media day. We put the main card guys on there. We gave the opportunity for the media to be present and ask questions. And then if they don't, you know, I don't know if they would get rid of it just because the turnout's bad, because I think they still want to present the opportunity there. And so they could say, well, we presented the opportunity for these fighters to get questions and do whatever. You know, like you see people like PFL, they constantly do a lot of like virtual ones.
Right.
And, you know, UFC and everybody did that when it was like the post-COVID, did the post ones, and it was just rough, and it was, you weren't getting a lot of participation in that, where people are like, we just want to get back in the room, you know, like let's present like everything's normal again, you know. But when people just, you know, gripe and then they'll bitch about the stuff that comes out of the media, they're like, oh, it's the access media, this. Okay, well, now it's on the road. Where are you at now? You know, it's like,
it's true.
Where are you at?
Very
true. It just drives me absolutely crazy. You know, you bitch for it to be one thing, and then when it goes and does that thing, well, you know, we don't all have the budgets to go. I'm like, that's the same thing for us now. That's why we're not everywhere. You know, The budget's the same thing for us. Pick your shots and pick whatever. But if you're trying to get in this field and you're trying to do whatever, there's now some of these opportunities that aren't just in the regional things. Now you have like a show that was just happening in Kansas City. You got one in Des Moines. It's probably going to be the same thing for that. You know, granted, you should have probably already tried to put in your credential request for those. But look at the map, look at where they're going, and start reaching out for some of these ones, because how it's looking, you're getting local news media, and that's it.
Yep.
But if you were really trying to break into it and say if you want a budget, say if you want to split a room with somebody, get on the road. Do the things that you've been bitching about. And now, you know, like you say you want to do whatever, you're like, oh, it's the same media, the same question. Well, fucking do something about it. Go show up to one of these events. Plan ahead, get credentialed, and go show up. You know, and then do something about it.
I like it. Cold coffee's fired up. But you know, but you're 100% right. Even if you don't want to take an adversarial position, like you're 100% right in terms of like people that are trying to break in and get in. Like, dude, in the beginning, like, listen, MMA Junkie. Yeah, okay, we got to a part where we got bought out by USA Today, and we had like the Gannett budget or whatever. And obviously, that's scaled back now. But media's scaling back everywhere right now. Budgets are. But there were a lot of times in the early days where like, you know, Dan and I would, you know, drive somewhere rather than fly, or we'd stay at a shitty ass, like, dude, I can count on one hand the number of times we stayed in a host hotel, you know what I mean? Like, because there's no way we're staying, that's way too expensive, you know, we're staying in some cheap ass, and, you know, as we got a corporate budget, we kind of upped a little bit, but we used to get whatever the cheapest thing we could find was. I can't remember if it's still there. It's San Jose. I remember it used to be called the Arena Hotel. I think they finally tore it down. It was this ghetto-ass hotel, but everybody in the media in San Jose had stayed there because it was like the cheapest hotel you could find in town. Like, and it was ghetto as hell, dude. It was broke-ass, but we would stay there. I know media used to come to Vegas and stay at the Oyo Hotel, right? Like, that was the media tradition. Well, it was Hooters back in the day, right? And Hooters, man. And I know they've done some renovations on it.
I was going to say, I was like, Oyo. I was like, what is that?
Well, it's called
Hooters.
It's the old Hooters. They rebranded it to the Oyo, which it took me years to actually figure out. Like, it was a stylized, it looked like two breasts and the nose of the owl is the Y. That's where the Oyo came from or whatever. So, ha ha ha, well done. But anyway, I think they're going bankrupt now anyway. But yeah, dude, we stayed in like shitty ass hotels.
Stayed Hooters.
We stayed in terrible hotels. You know, but yeah, it is, seriously though, if you are wanting to get into this, like if you apply for a media credential at Madison Square Garden, you're not going to get it. But if you apply to a media credential in Kansas City or Des Moines, you got a better chance. You know, they'll at least reach out back to you and be like, you know, if you're applying for a pay-per-view and you've never gone before, like, you're getting denied immediately. But at least for a fight night, like, maybe they don't immediately approve you, but maybe they at least reach out to you and say, hey, you know, what are your stats? What can you show me? Like, what kind of numbers can you show me of what you've done? And even then, you could say, well, to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of numbers, but that's what I'm trying to do. I'm passionate about this space. Here's what I've done independently. Let me show you my work. This is what I always tell people, like, launch a blog. Like, if you're trying to do, like, launch a blog that nobody ever reads just because you're doing it and you're getting practice doing it. And then when you want a credential or whatever, you can show them, like, well, I haven't had a readership, but I've been trying this. You know what I mean? There's so
– yeah.
Anyway.
And you might get a check. Granted, they will, on as a whole, if you are Billy's blog from his basement.com.
Right.
More than likely, they're going to say no. But if you actually get in a dialogue and you're actually at that point, you're already 10 steps ahead of anybody else that just actively going. Because if you can get in that discussion and have these things and have an email chain saying, like, yes, I'm just starting out, you know, I'm aspiring to this, you know, I know that this region maybe doesn't get covered greatly in MMA, but I'm using this as an opportunity, you know, I'm hoping to blah, 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 they might just give you a shot. You know, they might just give you a shot, you know, and I get it. You know, everybody wants to go to the Madison Square Gardens and they want to do the big shows and maybe you only get a chance to do one event. But if you go in there realizing, like, yeah, I'm not going to get that Madison Square Garden, but what other event can I possibly go at a fraction of the cost? Because one, you know, the hotels in New York are just absolutely ridiculous. You know, everybody's paying crazy hand over fist for that kind of shit. But if you can go to some of these other events and then do it, definitely do it. But yeah, just on the whole. But yeah, it wasn't like I was trying to be adversarial, but it did sort of come out that way. Just because I'm tired of motherfuckers that are just like, oh my god, it's the access media, it's the dupe and blah. I'm like, bro, I live here, so yes, I go to the ones that are here. And do I want to hear myself every fucking question?
Absolutely not.
No, I don't. But I realize it's better than having a fighter sit there and not get anything. And I will tell you, fight night, no fighter wants to have the post-fight. They just want to fight and they want to share it. And the last thing is to get brought to a room with like one or two people. But if they do, I will give them those questions and I will give them that. You
know. Much respect.
But, you know, I would rather, I'm sure they would rather just go straight to a party. But if they're going to come and get a chance to do whatever, we're going to give them their moment, you know, because 100%. That's part of what you're doing. You're giving them a chance to do whatever. And you're going to get to talk with people that you never had a chance to talk with before. But you just got to show up. But when people show up, don't bitch because somebody showed up and you decided not to. And it's just because it's easier to sit on your couch and bitch. And so many people just do that.
Definitely not adversarial.
I'm glad you have a huge. Yeah. Now it became adversarial. You might have a great following from your fucking couch, and good for you. Get off your ass and go do something.
Cold coffee, just slinging darts out there. I love it. I love cold coffee with a little bit of an edge. All right, well, I better get him off air before he just
starts. Like I said, that wasn't adversarial. That's just all love. That comes from a place of love.
Burns the whole house down over here. I'm taking down the whole community. We're tearing it apart, brick by brick.
I'm going to build you up, then I'm going to break it down. Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. All right. Should be a good card. We'll talk about it on the and a half episode over at patreon.com/the MMA Roadshow. So if you want to support the podcast, we certainly appreciate you doing it over there by subscribing to us over there. And you do get a little bonus episode for it. And even if you don't want to listen to that and you just want to show some love, we always appreciate that. But more than anything, we appreciate anybody that spends any of their time whatsoever listening to us crazy cats just talk some MMA. Thanks for listening.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, It notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.